I think these readings are trying to teach us about God's expectations for how we should be living as members of that kingdom. We see these familiar images of vineyards and fruit as we do elsewhere in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, in the Gospels. And I think these readings, these texts should really cause us to think about, about the lives we should be living as Christians. And you may have noticed there's emotion in these readings and a bit of tension flowing, say, from that first reading from Isaiah, the Psalms, the Gospel. For example, that first reading from Isaiah, it was written in a time when the threat from Assyria was being felt all over the region. It's a parable, and it's sometimes called the Song of the Vineyard. So this parable isn't very long. It doesn't take very long to read the parable. But maybe you notice that it starts as the writer acting as a narrator. And he's telling us about his friend and his vineyard. And we learn that his friend, the owner of the vineyard, is the Lord of hosts. And he tells us that the owner of the vineyard planted it, spaded it, cleared it of stones, built a tower, all of these things. He had done everything for that vineyard. And for what? Just a crop of wild grapes. And some texts say rotting grapes. Rotting grapes. And then in the reading, the owner of the vineyard speaks to us. Right? And he wants his listeners to join him in judging the situation. Judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done? In other words, you tell me. What more could I have done for my vineyard? And there's a sense of disappointment and sorrow in the text. The Lord had left his vineyard to tenants, its leaders, to take care of his vineyard, and he expected fruit from the vineyard. But what did he get for all his effort? Injustice, bloodshed, violence, idolatry, oppression, especially oppression of the poor. So sadly, he will take away his hedge, let it be given up to grazing, let it become overgrown, let it go to ruin. And the words later in Isaiah warn of a future devastation as the result of all of this. Later in Isaiah, the prophet speaks of invasion. He tells us the Lord will raise a signal to a far-off nation, whistle for it from the ends of the earth, then speedily and promptly they will come. They will growl and seize the prey. Even the psalmist in the psalm laments this disaster. Why have you broken down its walls so that every passerby plucks its fruit? So the Lord is punishing his people. He's using others to do that. And then in the gospel, Jesus also speaks of a vineyard as the kingdom of God. And Jesus' presence among us shows us that just as the Lord may have punished his people earlier, the Lord did not abandon them. For the owner has become the true vine. The owner of the vineyard becomes the vine. the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth. The Lumen Gentium, one of the great documents coming out of the Second Vatican Council, in that the Council Fathers wrote that the church is also a piece of land to be cultivated. And that land, like a choice vineyard, has been planted by God. And the true vine is Christ, who gives life and power to bear abundant fruit to the branches. That is, to all of us, through who the church remains in Christ, and without whom we can do nothing. So you get that rich imagery of the vine and the branches in John's Gospel. Christ is the true vine, and he gives us the life we need that enables us to bear fruit in our lives as Catholics. So we should hear both of these readings today as exhortations to us to live in such a way as Christ would be pleased to bear fruit. But I was thinking, what does it mean to bear fruit? Well, it means that as Catholics, what we believe drives how we pray and how we worship. But Christian living demands more than that. What does it mean to be a Catholic? What would you tell somebody who asked you that? Our faith certainly does include the doctrine and the tradition, the sacraments. But beneath that, there needs to be an authentic striving for the things that Jesus stood for. The things that Jesus stood for: justice, care for the poor, reconciliation among people, welcoming strangers, right? Turning away from sin. Because our faith isn't simply the doctrine and the tradition and our prayers. It's all of that. But our faith is an encounter with a person. It's an encounter with Jesus Christ. So our faith is about knowing Christ, loving Christ, and following him. Following him where he leads us in our life as Christians. Because we could know, or think we know, what the church teaches, and we could faithfully go to Mass every day of the week, go to confession every week, all of those wonderful things, and still not be living the life that Christ wants us to live. We wouldn't be living what St. Paul calls us to in that second reading, when he wrote, "Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious," he concludes, "if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing what you have learned, doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the God of peace will be with you."